right, let's do this.
Unless we have to.
Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I'm Nick Kyprios. He's Justin Bourne. He's a very dejected Sammy McKee. Derek Brandeo and Jake the Snake Schultz. Ready to give you our breakdown, our analysis of your Toronto Maple Leafs Leaf Edition hour.
Hi, guys.
We are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. The St. Louis Blues come in and spoil Craig Berube's revenge game, Sammy.
Oh, yeah. Spoiled it.
We thought that could give the Leafs enough juice to come off that horrible game against Columbus. Mm-hmm. But, JB, it didn't happen.
No. I'm really happy to start generally on the game last night. You know, this Leaf core has come back from embarrassing moments almost without fail with some vindication. Mm. And to go get beat by four by the St. Louis Blues on home ice last night in the Berube game, in the Wall game, people are not happy.
So they are new.
You know,
they are new Leafs.
They're new. New look Leafs.
It is so typical of this city, my hometown, born and raised here, and it just seems like nothing's changed. It's either it's the greatest in the world or it's let's blow the whole thing up. There's just nothing in between with this hockey club.
Are you here to be the voice of reason today?
I'm interested in this.
I am.
How you're building this up.
I'm not building anything up. I'm not.
Stream of consciousness.
I just believe that there's something in the middle that the truth lies in. That's all.
Of course.
And
of course.
You know, I did mention to you earlier in the week, it's just six games. Can you just kind of relax a little bit here? And
look who you're talking to, pal.
And yeah, those are bad losses. There's two bad losses this week. I get that. But are you ready to just blow it up?
Yeah, I know what I'm ready to blow up.
What?
PP1. I'm ready to blow that up.
Yeah.
If we're talking about blow it up, I'll blow that up, but
no. Okay, so we're going to get into the power play. We'll get into it all. You want to start with an overall theme off of what I just said, or do you want to go more game specific and go to Craig Berube's?
Let's talk about what we should talk about.
Okay. All right. So you're going to do this. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'll follow up.
Everyone.
I'm not into the panic mode right now.
No one wants to talk about the power play. They want to talk about Matthews and Marner. They want to talk about this core and what's going on. You know, they have not. Matthews and Marner, I think, over the last two games are on for no goals, four and five against. They've been brutal. They've been brutal. And even more, you know, there's plenty of things to be concerned about. It's the defensive errors that people are highlighting. The lack of positional commitment, the lack of details, which is my article is about details today. If you check out sportsnet.ca, and people are upset about it. The best players have not been good.
We suck.
God, I didn't say that. All right, Kiff, what do you got?
No, I got nothing. You know, I will say this, though, that, you know, you come in, you want to paint the brush with Matthews and Marner, you know? And like I'll paint it just on Matthews. I'll just push Marner to a side right now, and I'll go, like, that guy last night for me, like, if I want to just go to the very top, not good enough. And I think he mentioned that in his comments after, but way too casual for me. Mm-hmm. Way too casual.
And so why are we pushing aside Marner?
Because there's only one guy that claims to be the second best player on the planet. There's only one guy that they blew up John Tavares's captaincy for. That guy's got a letter on his shirt. That's the guy that was supposed to come in here and have a new look to him and a different feel. And so far, nada. Feathers. So don't, it's not Marner wearing the C. It's not Marner who's supposed to be running toe-to-toe with Connor McDavid.
Whenever he's going bad, though, we say, well, he's not Matthews. And when he's going good, it's like, well, isn't he Matthews? He ain't Matthews. And so far this year, my biggest concern is not just the two of them and their line and defensive issues. It's creating. Like, Matthews is at least creating. So far on this season, like last night, Matthews must have had, I don't know, 8 chances, and yeah, they're not going in. But, I mean, Marner's not getting opportunities.
He's not touching the puck.
He's not touching the puck.
Not getting the puck. They're not. Listen, again, they're not very good at passing the puck. Whether you're talking about 5-on-5 right now or that whole power play. But, again, Matthews, number one centerman, 8 games, 2 assists. Go find me other star centermen and tell me that they've got 2 assists in 8 games.
Mm-hmm. I know Marner's your boy. I hate having to be.
It's not that he's my boy. It's the bigger picture for me is Matthews right now.
And you know what sucks, though, is I would love to do that, too. I would love to also point out some of Matthews' flaws. But if I do that, we're just going to sit here and crap on Matthews, and it's not going to be a fair representation.
But for 4 years, you crap on Marner. Why not crap on Matthews by himself?
Because to me, it's like a defense mechanism, so our show is representing.
TV, you watched them last night. They referred to the centerman. It's Matthews. Okay, the goal where he's in the corner with McCabe, the one that put the game kind of out of reach at 3-1.
Yeah.
It's a 1-on-2. Okay, he's in there and he's fishing for pucks.
While Marner's at center ice skating the other direction. He's at center when that happens.
I don't care where the other guys are. The puck is with you and McCabe. You can't sort it out. You won't take the man. You want to go in there and fish pucks out and look casual? You look ridiculous.
The point is, these guys, you know, this season they're making a couple million bucks of one another, and the two of them, their line, they can't carry a single line right now. And they
do
by chances and opportunities and all that. I got individual scoring chances this year. Matthews, 38. Marner, 15. High danger chances, I got Matthews, 17. Marner, 2. You know, like, this guy's supposed to be a 100-point guy who is one of the reasons they go, and they're not scoring. They're not getting anything accomplished out there. And so I get your point that Matthews has been, the last 2 games, terrible defensively. Terrible lack of detail, pinching in, swiping at pucks, not committed. It's the worst I've ever seen him play defensively. The worst, by far.
But why?
Number one centerman.
Yeah.
But why is that? Is it because the pressure of the sea?
Question.
Is it, you know, a different coach? Like, that's supposed to be more defensive-minded, that he's trying to do too much offensively to impress a coach? Like, I don't know why. And I thought he was really good offensively last night. Defensively, awful, but still his dynamic self.
He had a big rush, I think, on the power play, and
lots of chances.
Yeah, I know, and there are chances that are usually
going
individual
in.
Efforts.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not. It's not a look of 5 guys on the ice. It's not even a look of 2 guys with Marner. It's just him going out there and trying to do something on his own. That, and it's great when you're getting bounces and you got a little puck luck and all good goal scorers to get to 70 or 80 goals have to have those bounces.
Yeah, of course.
He's got no bounces. He had the open net and Ryan Suter's skate blade, Parayko.
Yeah.
Like, that usually goes in for that guy. So now all of a sudden you're not getting those bounces. Plus you're out there super casual.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way I can describe him.
I do too, right? But hold on now.
He's playing like he dresses to the game, super casual.
And
we don't adhere to dress codes.
What's crazy is this coach was supposed to be the guy that made Matthews. Everyone was like, he's been a great defensive centerman. This is going to make him a Selke guy. This is going to make him. That was that word said about Matthews, like Berube could help him get to. He got Selke votes last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy's going to be put over the top. I've never seen him look worse in that department. And so,
both of them. Marner's awful defensively, too, and he's usually really good defensively.
Agreed. Another guy who gets Selke votes.
So, both of them have been awful defensively.
So what I'm trying to make sense of is Berube is supposed to be the motivator or the accountability guy, right? Last night, neither of those guys sit for one shift. Mm-hmm. Nylander turns one over, which we've seen him do high in the offensive zone, and a goal goes the other way. He doesn't sit for a shift. So he was not the accountability guy or the motivator or the details guy. What,
and unity, chemistry, great skill.
What is Berube going to be here?
It's a good question, but I think it's pretty well been stated that from the moment you hired him to training camp up until two games ago that he was going to be the guy that straightened a lot of this out.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Like, how do you go from, again, those extremes that I talked about at the top of the show, how do you look like a contending team for the Stanley Cup Monday and then two games later look like you're going to miss the playoffs?
Habits take time to break.
I don't know.
So they bought in. They were all in up until two games ago.
Yeah.
And what happened? They got tired of his dump and chase. They got tired of hitting. What happened?
That's an interesting idea. My article today does theorize that, you know, in the early days, you're trying to impress your coach. You play the way he wants to, so he plays you. Mm-hmm. And then the lineup crystallizes and you see how he's going to use you. It's pretty clear to these guys they're still going to play 22 minutes a night. They're still going to play power play one. So, they're still getting all their cookies.
We have had that conversation. I've had that conversation.
And all
with
of a
you.
Sudden, it's like first date's over.
I've used the term, everybody's on their best behavior.
Yeah.
But when you get to a point where you're not feeling great and you've already had a couple of bumps and bruises, can you do it when you're not feeling like you got your A game, or can you bring that every night?
Right.
Doesn't even have to equate to wins all the time, but can you be a sore loser and make teams pay the price if they're going to come in and get 2 points?
Just do your job.
We didn't question it against Tampa Bay, but now we are after two games. Do you want to play or do you not want to play? Or does the stars have to align for you? It'd have to feel good. You know, is the sun out? Is it cloudy? Like, what's the deal, guys? When do you show up and when do you not show up?
The analogy I used in my article was like Patrice Bergeron when he defended. He didn't defend by being physical and mean and on pucks. He was, like a good Sauce Gardner on the Jets. Yeah. No one throws at Sauce because he's on top of his guy and he's great.
Yeah.
And that's Bergeron. He was above his player. He was in front of the net. He didn't have to make plays because he was always in the right position. These guys don't seem to be willing right now to work hard to get in the right positions. And they're chasing the game. Rushes against the last two games have been staggering.
Can I theorize something else?
Yes.
That's been different than the last two games?
We got no answers. Hopefully you got some.
The best goalie in the league didn't play in the last two games. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but, they were getting world-class goaltending in the first two games, and they didn't get it in the last two games.
Could they have lost against Tampa Bay without Stolarz? Because he was really good.
He was good. But they had a big lead. The thing that sticks out to you in that Monday game against Tampa Bay was a 5-on-3 where he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
When it was still 4-1 and it was still a game. And he made a couple awesome saves, including that goal line one where he takes it off the goal line. But like I'm not going to take away anything from that performance.
They got up 4-1 there.
They were dominant in that game.
Listen, you guys know how I felt about Wall going in. We talked about it before the game yesterday.
What'd you think watching him?
Not ready. Mentally, physically, emotionally, that guy looked a wreck last night. It was not on. So what was it? 3 goals on
14, I think, at one
14?
Point. 14 or 15, at one point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can we pull a goalie? Is that okay? Or was that allowed?
Well.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know you're serious. It's funny how everyone's so sensitive about that now. You used to just be like, not good enough. Who's up? But this is the
3-14, not good enough.
But so Berube's the accountability coach. I can't believe we didn't see something last night. We saw Dreisaitl get benched earlier in the year for a couple of games or a couple of shifts anyway. I cannot believe Nylander went back over the boards after that high zone tournament.
Great observation.
So
is there you talk about impressing the coach with the guys and them playing hard to start and what we haven't seen in the last couple of games. Like, is there a worry from Berube that showing his true self before we hit the 10-game mark here with benchings and changing everything up, that he's worried that it could go the other way? Because I got to tell you, the change, I know we're a weather vane fan base and like I am part of it.
There's the understatement.
I am fully aware of that. But even for us, like the change in tone from 11:15 on Monday night to where we're sitting here right now amongst the fan base, it's a 180. Mm-hmm. Like they are. Like I looked at the practice lines being tweeted out by. So they tweeted out the lines today. David Alter or whatever tweeted out the lines with like just them the same. And I went through the mentions of that tweet. It's like, oh my God, people are so ready to hate this team.
Literally, it's just the lines and the responses are like, yeah, sure, give it another shot. LOL. You know, yeah, it's this accountability thing is not true. And just like,
yes,
it's just the lines and people are like not happy.
People are looking for any reason to hate this group of guys.
But it really goes back to
any reason.
The doubling down, the tripling down, the quadrupling down of that core group.
Yeah.
What's fiving right? down?
Quinn.
Can you quinting down?
Cinco down?
So
Joel Cinco.
What was the major change? Not that core group, but the coach. Mm-hmm. So.
And then the coach has done this the same lines. It's Matthews and Marner, and they're playing the same minutes, and they're playing the same everything.
I can see where they're coming from, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, they get off to a decent start, and the guys are playing hard, and a huge win against Tampa Bay, and it's, okay, maybe the coaches come in there and really did what they thought he could do, and that's changed the culture inside the room.
The second they get a whiff of a belief that the city is believing in them and whatever, that's when there's like a trap door beneath the fan base's feet.
It really is so remarkable.
It's Lucy and Charlie Brown of the football.
You know, I'm not happy to hear the same lines. I'm not. Okay. And I didn't mention it the other day because again, I'm thinking it's early here. He's maybe just sorting things out, but the Columbus game, I'm watching it. They're getting blown out. Mm. And I'm watching Marner, Matthews, and Nylander together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like...
You're like, Sheldon?
I'm like, what is going on here?
I had the exact same thought, but I didn't want to...
Why are those three guys together? And I know the telecast, they were referencing being down 5-0 to Columbus, and then the 6-5, remember, mm-hmm. the comeback?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like... You know, the worst thing that could happen right now
would be a comeback.
Is a comeback.
Yeah.
The worst thing. Yeah. The last thing these guys need is to feel like they can go down 5-0 and never be out of a game.
We'll figure it out.
Now we're back to outscoring your mistakes.
Yeah.
It's like they should have lost 12, and those guys should never have even seen a shift in the last 10 minutes.
Well, one thing that we had complained about during the Sheldon Keefe coaching era was that he tried to win every game at no... with no willingness to zoom out on the season.
Yep.
It was always like, don't care if Nylander's been bad tonight. 2 minutes left, we're down two, he's on the ice. Don't care if he's been the worst he's ever been. And we were saying, at some point, you need to, the accountability is saying, we might lose tonight, but I'm going to show these guys that we're not going to be okay with that kind of play. And here we are.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. So.
Okay, let's go.
OEL's with Riley now, so that's the.
Let's go to. Craig Berube, clip one on his overview of the game.
We made mistakes, bottom line, defensive mistakes. Lack of awareness on some of them. Just, for me, we gave him three goals, you know, shouldn't happen.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Defensive mistakes.
We saw.
Yeah. Why? Giveaways. Why are those happening?
So, okay, hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
Why are the so? What's better? And I'm not just talking from a show perspective.
Yeah.
If you are just Joe Winnetobico, mm-hmm. that's a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, do you want Sheldon Keefe up there going on for a minute and a half talking about the breakdowns of the game and being like, "This is why we did this. This is what happened here. This." Or do you want Craig Berube to just be like, "Listen, we were bad." What is a more desirable thing
that he knows what's going on? You have to be able to identify the problems to know how to solve them. Mm-hmm. And I just want some sort of clue that mm-hmm. he's like, here's why, you know, we're working on some sort of system. That there's got to be some reason, and if there's not some reason, then it's just guys aren't listening. Mm-hmm. Guys aren't. Maybe other people. Maybe you want.
It just might be early, though. It still just might be too early for him to say something of substance.
Yeah.
No,
you're right. You're right, though. You're right. If he came out and ripped him to pieces, we might be like 8 games in. That's a little early. So maybe that's a good point.
There's got
to
be a bit of a fine line, though, because we'll see what happens Saturday night. They're going into a place where they're dying for a win, too, in Boston. Mm-hmm. And then you got to go play the hottest team in hockey right now in Winnipeg Monday night. He can't keep going to the well just a few little sound bites, cliches. He's going to have to kind of have a bit of more of an explanation on things.
You think, right? And you think he will? I don't think he will.
I think in this town, you gotta, and we've seen Rick Tocchet out in Vancouver over the transition of taking a very bad team and pushing him into a contending environment.
Mm-hmm.
You got in this market, in this country, you can't kind of blow it off every night when there are performances like that.
Yeah.
So it's still early for me.
It's early for sure. And that has to be said. But that last night did shake me a bit, if I'm being totally honest, because you do expect, and we've been used to the bounce backs and we've been used to it in that spot where they come back and they play great and they play the opposite of great. And it's the stars that don't look good. Like when you're not getting production from Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Willie, who make up however much of your cap, you're not going to win a ton of games. And if it's been two straight games of nothing from those guys, mm-hmm. right? Actually, the opposite of, like, they're actively hurting you.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know. Last night was a shaker for me. I know it's early, but I'm a weather vane, and that one stung.
We got more, Berube. We actually have an elaboration on those defensive issues. Do you want to do that on next?
Sure.
All right, let's have it.
Clip two.
You know, we're just losing coverage when, you know, we're not helping each other out in the coverage areas. You know what I mean? Like, too much time and space on some of them, you know, instead of being physical and closing plays out. And the PK goal, where, you know, our forwards in the wrong spot and they get it to the front of the net. It's just more, some of them are mental mistakes. And some of them, you know, we got to be harder. We got to be more physical.
Does it come from just cheating, like your responsibilities? Because maybe Matthews or Marner want to get their points back up?
Maybe. I do think that there is a hedging to the offensive side of things right now instead of just like backing out and defending a little bit. We got quite a few Berube clips. So one of them is on being too cute, which to me is related to this. Can we go with the clip 7?
Well, no. He was asked by Zeiss mm-hmm. about on the play that you were so mad about with Matthews. He asked him why, I almost called him Brian McCabe. Well, why Jake McCabe did a through the legs pass below mm-hmm. below the red line. I don't know if you caught that. But
yeah, he was handcuffed. I thought it was actually a pretty good play to get
He asked him about that, and then this was his response. So here you go.
A lot of that in these last two games for me is our whole team's getting a little cute. And, you know, we just got to play direct. And, you know, like, we don't need that kind of stuff.
Listen, cute's been around a while in this town.
Be a little too cute with it.
Oh. Mm. They've been cute. I'm trying to beat the cute out of this group. I don't know if you can decute this group. I don't. The core. You can't decute the core.
Habits take time.
That Nylander one.
Eight years of habits.
Yeah, and that
eight.
That Nylander one. Remember, he did this last year. Trent Frederick against the Boston Bruins pokes it free, goes in a breakaway and scores.
Yep.
Willie did the same thing in playoffs and scored. He shot it in the net in like a pretty big spot, if I recall. And it's like live by the sword, die by the sword with Willie. Live by the cute, die by the cute. Yeah. I don't know if you're ever going to decute them.
I don't like your odds of living through it, though.
You're probably.
To win a Stanley Cup.
16 playoff wins.
Catch up over 2 months of must-win games in the playoffs. That doesn't equal out to being on the right side to win a Stanley Cup.
Death by cute.
It is
death cab by for cute.
You have to, the game on the defensive side. You want analytics?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Play the percentages
yeah.
on the right side of the puck defensively. And you can't have a 50-50 scenario. Willie will lose when it matters most.
And
play
he
the right way.
Okay, so we've gone 25 minutes. We do have to mention the power play again. Yeah.
Here, I'm going to read your stat on here.
Yeah, please do.
The previous 41 games, sorry, last 41 games, this power play is 12.1%. That's 32nd in the NHL. How many teams in the league again?
32, I think.
Okay, not good.
15 for 124 in the last 40 games.
And the previous 41 games, 28.4%, fourth in the NHL. So they have gone from among the best to the worst.
It is. No, it's not only the worst. It's the worst in the Matthews, Nylander, Marner era.
Couldn't do worse with it.
It is the ugliest looking power play.
They never get a
in
chance.
9 years.
They don't even get a sniff.
Rube, if you want to play his clip on the power play there, Derek. You
can't. Well, it's.
Oh, they got some looks again tonight. They get looks, you know, but looks. It's still. Little bit, they're not seeing it. You know what I mean? They're not really seeing it right now, and you know they'll get it going. We'll keep working at it, but at least we converged the net more tonight and got pucks there more tonight. You know.
I asked a power play coach once, would you rather have a bunch of super skilled guys who used that ability to kind of freelance and figure it out, or a bunch of guys who did what you want them to do, up, over, down, the basics? And he said the latter. He would just rather have a plan that guys knew what they were doing and executed it, and guys you could trust to do it, rather than a bunch of skill trying to overthink it.
But if you don't have that ability to take your skill to a high level, mm-hmm. Then you're starting to play more of the percentages that I spoke of. So it's safer.
What do you mean? What's safer?
I'm just saying that when you have high skill like that, you're going to try things that
yeah.
normal guys would not
for
try.
Sure. But you got to start with, I guess what I'm getting is you got to start with the bones yes. of structure.
Yes.
We have a plan first.
Yes.
And then if something opens up, you yeah. go, oh, I can go cross seam now.
Yeah. And it just doesn't see, it just, it's slow. It's just slow for me. I watch other power plays and I watched St. Louis snap in the puck.
Mm-hmm.
And they got like, I don't even know what's in that lineup really. Who's their most skilled guy? Kyrou?
Yeah. Who, by the way?
Neighbors,
night,
nice player.
Neighbors jumped off the ice to me last
yeah,
night.
For
I like
sure,
neighbors.
But like that was, and they were snapping it around like they had $45 million in four guys.
Yeah.
You know who was else was jumping off the page for me last night for them? That Broberg looks like a pretty good hockey player.
Tough night for the Oilers. Watching Broberg light it up.
But
anyways,
you gotta look like you know what you're doing. Before you get the puck and after you get the puck. Mm-hmm. And right now they're just slow for me and
like,
predictable.
You and I have watched all eight games in preseason, close as anyone. And if I gave you a pen and paper and said, you know, Mark Savard clearly tells this team, here's the plan. What do you think the plan is? Let's see if it matches up with what Savard's plan actually is. I wouldn't have a clue personally where to start. Like, who are they trying to get a shot for? Where are they trying to drive it from? What's option one?
Don't know.
What's like their number one?
The play that happens the most right now is it ends up on Tavares' stick and he shovels one towards it, like tries to drive to the red, like jam play.
That's the play.
That happens
to me.
So
I see
much.
like a Matthews who's had solid possession for 4 seconds, wrister.
Yeah. A failed cross ice pass.
How well is Mark Savard sleeping these days?
Not well. Not well.
You got like $50 million on that power play.
Yeah.
Like he's got to figure something out too.
Yeah. You know, you kind of got to go back and watch when they've been successful, what it's looked like. Where was it coming from when it was going in?
Can I ask you guys if the Edmonton Oilers, who have had the best power play in the league for however many years, can have a slow start to the season, and their coach, who I guess maybe feels the heat a little bit more than Knobloch and more than Berube does and his crew, can be like, we're breaking this up and we're going to try something different. Why can't they do that here? If they can do it, I wouldn't have said this if the literal Edmonton Oilers haven't considered it. Like, just try it at practice. They still are going to they're still practicing it. It doesn't work.
I get it. It's 41 games,
Kip, that they're 12%, 15 for 124.
Let's revisit the Edmonton Oilers power play after the weekend.
Yeah, it just needs a wake-up call. That's all it is.
And we'll see what Connor decides. We had Adam Oates on yesterday on our national program. If you didn't catch it, go download it. Find it on a podcast. He's right.
Put the best players out.
They're going to go out there anyways. And guess what? Connor ain't coming off for Knobloch. And if he wants Hyman on it, he's getting Hyman. The way it works.
None of them are McDavid, buddy. They're not McDavid.
Who?
And it's a new coach. The whole thing, like me and Bunk talked about this last night, you sit up there and you preach accountability.
When Austin wants to go on, he's going to go on. When he wants to come off, he's going to come off.
Has it changed that much from when you played?
He owns it.
So it's just the same thing as last year. So it's just the same thing as always. So I just should have kept Sheldon.
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy. Is that what we're saying here? It's a little early.
It's not a little early. It's 41 games. They've scored 15 power play goals in 41 games. 124.
It's early for Berube.
I do like OEL up there.
Sorry, John.
See,
you got to get John.
I like OEL.
Mm-hmm. I like him a lot.
I don't like him that much.
I do.
Calm down.
Why? So that guy wins a Stanley Cup, and he's a third pair guy, and he comes to your Toronto Maple Leafs, and he becomes the number one defenseman on the team.
Yeah.
You're okay with that?
I mean, I think it says more about where the rest of the decor is than it does about him.
Okay.
But I think he's been good and earned his minutes.
But he's not, at his age right now, he's not a number one defenseman, and I'm not sure he's a number one quarterback for a contending team on a Stanley Cup.
I mean,
he might be.
I mean, he's better than Riley up there.
I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
But
I get your point.
He's 33 years old. Mm-hmm. There's some weather there.
Yep.
It's too much for me to see OEL now carry all the freight back there. I know Morgan Riley has his flaws, but you got to keep working with that guy, okay? Take 100 shots a day with him at the blue line. He's $7.5 million. That guy has got to lift the level of his game up, or else this team's going nowhere.
He does get a bit of a pass for reasons not entirely clear.
He knows it too. He knows it.
So I just want to confirm on Oliver Ekman Larson.
Yes.
You don't like him.
No, I just don't like him to be now.
He's slotted too high.
He's the guy now. He's the man.
But I think lots of teams, their number one defenseman wouldn't be the power play quarterback. I'm saying this out of my mouth. Is that true?
If you look through the teams and say, draft the best power play quarterbacks in the NHL, you get pretty deep before you hit OEL. I think the contention Kip is making, excuse me if I'm putting words in your mouth, is that he's probably not a number one power play guy on a top 16 team, ideally.
Okay, that's fair.
Maybe he's the 23rd best power play option in the league. I don't know.
And maybe that's the issue I just remember the most recent was Thomas Caberle and McCabe.
The best power play guys for the Leafs?
Caberle, McCabe, one-timer, bomb.
I'll remember those feather saucer passes from Caberle to McCabe. I fall asleep to those. I think of those to fall asleep.
You know what's wild? You know, you're talking about how they haven't tried something else or haven't or whatever. Mm. We've talked on the show about them not having a number second-line center. It's crazy they haven't asked Willie to do it after all the talk for a game. Has he had one game at center?
I don't think so.
Not a single one? Like, we're just pulling our hair out. If only there were some other options. Like, should we see it?
For them not to even give it, like...
A minute.
A week or 2 weeks tells you how much...
They don't believe they can do it.
They lack faith in Willie to go and be an up and down 200-foot guy.
Just give him a chance to fail and prove you're right.
That's why I hated what he said in preseason when he's like, well, you have to ask my old coach about that, why I didn't play center. And I was like, well, it's the first day of training camp. Like, can you see if your new coach likes you at center? And guess what? We didn't make it to the regular season. So bit of a scheduling thing here, fellas. We were supposed to have Andy Brickley on to join us. Made a hole-in-one today and said he would rather not come on in his state. So we're going to have to catch up with
the
Brick.
I got to tell you, let me say, so I respect that.
He bought
a couple of rounds.
We were texting. Good for Andy. Congratulations, Andy.
We were texting. And I said, how many cocktails?
Gets you off our show.
I said, how many cocktails are we talking? Several.
Let the record show. If you're ever a guest on our show and you make an ace, you're off the hook.
Yeah. So congrats to Andy, and we're going to have to figure out what to talk about for the next 20 minutes.
Buddy, I got I could do 3 hours today, no problem on the Leafs.
You got some notes?
Yeah.
Four,
got
five.
Some notes?
I got things.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Be my guest, Kippy.
More on the three of us fixing the Leafs after two games after the break. Real Kipper and Bourne.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, as we close out our Leaf edition, we will have Brian Lawton in. Top of the hour on national program as Doug McLean's in transition on his way back to Florida.
You guys heard it here first. Doug McLean's transition.
We will take text messages as well in the back half.
Yeah, lots of texts today. So, I mean, listen, always know when the temperature is up in Toronto when we are getting unsolicited takes. Like, some guys yelling at me, like, multiple texts, like, tell Kipper you said Austin was great last night. Tell him you said that.
On the show.
He's like, tell him. Well, anyways.
Text 590-590, your questions, your opinions, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can go. There's still so much to talk about.
Yes.
But want to talk a little bit about, after the Columbus game, I came on our show and I said, I'm not as upset about like the game as I was about their kind of the response of owning a very miserable game.
Yeah.
Did we get a different feel last night?
To a cartoonish degree. Like, I mean, literally to a man, I think every player went out of their way to take individual ownership last night, which was very impressive.
Do you want to get a clip?
Yeah, let's do Matthews clip one and see if we can get a trend into these. Matthews clip one, please. Uh-oh. Maybe I screwed that up. I think it was on me, boys. Here, I'll put them in here.
All right.
All right. Well, do you want to go to Oliver Ekman-Larsson?
I don't know.
Any of them?
Go to Berube clip three on facing adversity.
We always want everything.
Well, we're going through some adversity right now, you know, going to Columbus and got beat and then beat at home here tonight. You know, we got to obviously look at the tape and, you know, for me, we're giving up too many odd man rushes right now and we got to nip that in the butt. That's number one, because before that, the last two games, we were pretty good in that area. We got to fix that. That's a problem right now. And, you know, you're going to go through tough times like this during the year, and you got to find a way to dig out of it and get the guys better. We all got to be better, myself included. We all got to be better. So we'll get to the work tomorrow and get ready for Boston.
All right, so he starts with, I got to be better. We all got to be better, myself included.
And then now Matthews clip one, Derek, if you could.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we just... just a bad game all around, up and down the lineup, starts with me. But, yeah, I mean, just a number of things that obviously we didn't do good tonight.
And then Oliver Ekman-Larsson, too, please, if you would.
No, it's not good enough. Obviously coming out pretty flat in two games in a row. So I think that's got to be better. That's on us to prepare better, make sure we're ready to go when the ref dropped the puck.
So, all right, it's a start.
Can I hypothesize that someone within the Leafs organization heard the show and then said, like, if we lose, let's go out and say all the things that Kipper said to say. Like, that's literally what...
I don't know about that.
Literally. Like, they said exactly... No, thanks. But, like, thanks, immediately.
Yeah.
The next game, they said exactly what... Like, we put a clip out on social about it.
I think it's more likely that they noticed that there wasn't enough personal
responsibility.
It's
hilarious timing, you have to acknowledge.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Hilarious timing.
But, I mean, those are the right things to say.
Yeah.
That I personally need to be a better part of this.
And it's just, I don't think they've been in too many positions to have to do that over their careers.
No.
Yeah, but listen, again, I know we talked a little bit about Austin Matthews, but right now he appears to me like he hasn't got a clue how to be a NHL captain.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether or not.
How could he? Like, he just got thrown into it,
right? But he's still the same guy. It's just the same kind of thing. He's going to go out there and he's going to try to lead by scoring goals. And it's like the whole world just opened up with that C on your jersey. I'm sorry, but like, there is a whole new world for you to look and act. And I know it's only 8 games in, but yeah. I really hope that there's someone working with him now to develop into a legitimate captain one day. I don't know if it's Brendan Shanahan. I don't know if it's Shane Doan. I don't know if you got to go find former captains. I don't know if it's Wendell Clark or Doug Gilmore. But someone needs to be working with this guy behind the scenes on ice, off ice, body language, comments, when to call a team meeting, all of it. Somebody's got to be helping him behind the scenes because he cannot do it by himself. He does not have those natural instincts.
You know, it's tough to tell, right? Like, for me, I don't know. What you're saying could be total nonsense. It could be bang on, Kip. I don't have a sense.
Why would it be nonsense?
Well, because, I mean, they played 8 hockey games. He seems to be the same player he's been to me. And yeah. I think it's ridiculous.
But I don't
to
want
suggest,
him the same.
Well, that to me is, what are you talking about? You want him to suddenly become inauthentic and suddenly start talking like Herb Brooks in the dressing room?
Yeah, but there has to be growth. There has to be something. Like, who was it? Jacob Trouba. Remember the struggles when the Rangers, I don't know, last year maybe, and he ripped the helmet off and he threw it and he went off the ice? Like, they went on a heater after that. And you can sit there and say all you want. And I don't care if it's throwing a helmet.
Yeah.
I watched Matthew Knies last night take a bit of a cross check from neighbors and go right back at him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was more captain material last night out of a 22-year-old than I've seen out of anything out of Matthews this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would have told you a year and a half ago, Matthew Knies wouldn't do that. And I'm not talking about going out there and grabbing somebody or putting him in a headlock. I'm talking about emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I get emotion last night out of Matthew Knies? I get no emotion out of Austin Matthews.
You're on point here. That's fair. And I think it's a reasonable criticism of not just Matthews, but all of the same guys that are here. Tavares was never an emotional leader either, was he?
And they took the C off of him because of it.
Well, I don't know if that's why it was, but sure.
Come on, JB.
Well, Kippy.
What is the other reason why?
Because he plays 15 minutes and scores 40 points now. He's not the same guy he was. He's not as important to the team. And then same for Marner, same for Nylander. These are not it's not an emotional core. I agree that Knies is... That's nice to see. Actually, if you go through some of the underlying numbers of the Leafs, he's been as good as any of them. Maybe the best. He might be the best Leaf this season. Creating a ton, showing some emotion, he hits people.
I was just going to say, if you are Austin Matthews, and I mentioned this, and when we were talking about this early, that, you want it to be different. Like, you want something to be different. Like, we had this conversation, and I just, when you're watching the captain of your team when you're quote unquote learning underneath Tavares and watching him and you see the way he is, I don't know. This is kind of how I expected it to look, like Austin Matthews, but he just has the C on the chest.
Right.
And I don't know if that's good enough.
No, I think Kip's.
I don't know if it's
good enough.
Point
there.
So.
No, that is.
But like, is he ever gonna, like, he's talked to the media so much.
He has
over
to.
His career.
He has.
He's done
to.
It so much that like all these guys, every time they talk to the media, they do it so much. Marner included, Matthews included, Tavares included. They just want to say whatever the hell they want to say to get them out of there the fastest. Mm-hmm. None of them ever use the media. None of them ever say anything noteworthy ever. Like, they really don't. Is that going to change? Is Matthews, like, was that his quote-unquote captainly thing where he's like, it starts with me? Like, he's talking fast.
Why?
He's trying to get through it like all of them are.
Why did they give him the C?
Because they want to sell more jerseys.
No, that's not right.
Okay.
He's the face of the team. That's why.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
That comes with major responsibilities, way more than just shooting a puck towards the net.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where else you want to go?
How about the goaltender? I know we kind of lightly touched on it there for a minute, but you were not in support of Wool going in. He didn't play great. Did you think, you know, like none of them you'd say, hey, that's his fault, but you're allowed to say it's the NHL. Yeah. I want to save.
Yeah. The neighbor's shot.
One, yeah.
Short side.
Honest, the one on the PK where I know he's alone with Holloway. Guy Holloway's right on top of him.
So is,
paddle down
so is
or a
Austin.
Poke check is.
Austin.
And Tanev. He's been no communicating.
Blocked a lot of shots. Now this one goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So didn't see that one.
Yeah. So I'm not going to fall for
did you get nervous when.
Oh, yeah.
Who fell into him?
Yeah, someone poked him like 9 seconds into the game, and I was like, oh, God.
And he had a little bit of a shake.
He shook out his leg.
He shook
out his leg. Oh, God. I mean, I'm not sure that he's feeling okay today. Maybe he did feel like he couldn't come out of the net for all the reasons we've said. Sometimes you have to play when you don't feel great. Maybe he's hurting today.
I don't know. You should probably, like, Kipper's point was good yesterday that you've had the best goalie in the league. You should probably play him.
I think we're going to see him on Saturday night. Let's listen to what his coach thought in clip six there, Derek. Thanks.
First game in a long time. I mean, you know, I have, you know, he made some big saves, I thought, on some of those plays. But, you know, I mean, the first one he was screened on, he couldn't see it. You know, we let a guy stand right in front of him and screen him. We don't clear him out of the net, out of the front of the net. It's a tough one. And then, you know, the second goal, the guy's right on the doorstep all alone. On the PK.
He did make a couple good saves.
I would have saved him for Winnipeg. If he has the game he had last night against Winnipeg on the road against the hottest team in hockey, there's mm-hmm. a little bit more forgiveness there.
It actually kind of reminds me of him trying to work his way back from injury last season. Remember he came in and got filled in by Boston a couple times? I think back-to-back Saturdays or something, and it just never kind of got back.
Wasn't it like
the playoffs where he was remarkable when he was in?
We're going to see Saturday night two teams. It could be it could be 0-0 going into the third.
Oh, you think
these
so?
These
huh?
are two
oh, yeah.
not bad teams
you got
who are struggling.
Struggling.
Who need it.
Struggling. You know what you do? You retreat in your own. I don't care what happens past the red line. In our own zone.
You heard it here from Bet365. Bet the under.
five back. And don't you dare get beat to the net.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a real interesting test of how this team responds to Craig Berube.
Well, we kind of saw how they responded yesterday.
Yeah. Not a great first sign. There's going to be more information
could just
coming
be
our
more...
way.
They lose Saturday. They're under 500 and we all go crazy.
Hey.
By the way, this Atlantic division may not be that great.
Yeah, listen, the nice part about this kind of rocky start is every other team scuffling, too, other than the Panthers, who we all think will probably win that
division. When was the last time the Leafs were out of a playoff spot?
I don't know, but that...
Besides waking up today.
That was something I did
want to
add.
Are they out of the spot today?
They're not in the playoffs right now.
that is something I did want to add, is that the Leafs look like a team who think they can turn it on, right? Like, they go down a few goals, they look like they think they can do it whenever they want to do it. And that leads to losing games like this, which leads to a tough first-round opponent.
Playoffs?
They need to mature at some point and play good against bad teams, but they just can't do it.
We shall see if that starts, JB, as early as Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh.
Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins.
Good thing we didn't have Brickley on. Holy smokes, boys. Oh, do we have time? Quickly, Derek, how much time do we have?
Oh, fit it in.
Plymouth Golf Course, my home course, 20 miles south of Boston, Donald Ross, 15th hole, 190 yards, 5 rescue, hole in one, number 4.
Wow.
Number 4.
Holy.
Brian Lott next. When we return, we go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not go away.
Bye.